Welcome to the weekend and welcome to the Sharp 600 brought to you by Covers.com. As always, my name is Joe Fortenbaugh. Not as always, this is episode 145 of the podcast, your NFL Week 8 Spectacular. Outstanding to have you guys with us today. Thank you so much for your time. In just a couple minutes, we will jump out to the Las Vegas desert to visit with pro sports bettor Bill Krakenberger. The Crackman joined us earlier in the season. Love this dude. His mind moves 1,000 miles a minute. He is going to come on, and he does this for a living, mind you. He is going to come on to help lay out how exactly you should navigate the Week 8 card, what pitfalls to avoid, the stuff he's looking at, all that goodness. But as always, before we get to any of that, we begin with your 6-point teaser of the week. Cash it in, baby. We are now 5-2 on the season after the Chargers eked it out over the Tennessee Titans in London and the Chiefs blew out the Bengals on Sunday Night Football. So, 7 weeks into the season, 1 6-point teaser per week. We are now 5-2 on the year. This week's 6-point teaser begins in Pittsburgh. Take the Steelers from -8 down to -2 for Sunday's showdown against the Cleveland Browns. After a brutal 1-2-1 start to the season, the Steelers got right over their last two games via wins and covers over Atlanta and Cincinnati, respectively, by a combined 31 points. Now, throw in the fact that the black and yellow are off the bye, while the lowly Browns, who continue to find new and inventive ways to lose football games, are now 16-34-1 against the spread over the last 51 games overall, and an atrocious 4-14-1 against the spread over the last 19 matchups with divisional foes. You now have a recipe for a teaser cover with the Steelers. So the first half of the equation tease Pittsburgh from -8 down to -2. Pair them up with, you guessed it, the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs have covered the number in all 7 games this season, and they're now 21-7 against the spread over their last 28 games against AFC West opposition. Meanwhile, Denver finds itself at 3-12-1 against the spread over its last 16 matchups with divisional foes. Not only that, they're 7-18-2 against the spread over the last 27 games overall. Big question around the NFL, who gets fired first? Denver head coach Vance Joseph or Dallas head coach Jason Garrett? My money's on Joseph, and it could come as soon as next Monday once the Chiefs get done blowing out the Broncos. Bottom line, though, doesn't matter. Tease the Steelers from -8 to -2 against the Browns. Tease Kansas City from -9.5 to -3.5 against the Broncos. And let's hope we're 6-2 come Monday morning. If you are looking to round out your arsenal in any way to grab some additional information to help you through the handicapping process, check out coversexperts.com. That's the website, coversexperts.com, and use the promo code SHARP600. That's all one word, SHARP600. It's over at coversexperts.com. You can go through a wide variety of individuals with handicapping experience who are here to help guide you through the process. There are a lot of college games this weekend you may be interested in. There are a lot of pro games this weekend you may be interested in an effort to help continuing the process of knowledge, of learning, of rounding out that arsenal. Coversexperts.com can be of assistance. Use the promo code SHARP600 for a free $30 credit. Again, that's SHARP600. No issues with case sensitivity, no issues with spacing, just SHARP600 for a free $30 credit.
Back by popular demand to the Las Vegas desert we go. He's a pro sports gambler and an all-around great dude. We were just chatting for like 30 minutes before we got this thing rolling. Bill Krakenberger joining us here on the Sharp 600. Bill, you joined me for the first time a couple months ago. The people loved you so much. I didn't want to bother you right away about coming back on, but I'm glad now you were able to make some time and come on the program, man. Thank you so much. How's life treating you?
Sure, man. I'm good. I'm just downtown Las Vegas is a good spot for me to run around and try to steal some numbers. some of the sports books do take some bets from me. You know, a lot of them are like the William Hill brand is I don't go into because I'm not allowed to bet there. But downtown's a great area. You can hit stations over at the El Cortez. You can hit the Golden Nugget. You could hit, Fremont, which is the Boyd Coast properties. And so I like to come down here sometimes when I have like two games to bet at both of those properties, one on each. I'll come down here, which I just did. And I just to come down here, pop around in. And it's a bad place to come at night, though. It's amazing. You know, I always talk very bluntly about things. And I try to promote Vegas, but it's hard when you come to downtown Las Vegas and everyone's a charlatans and there's like con guys and everyone's asking for money. It's just so bad at nighttime here, and you can't take your kids down here. There's naked girls, and I'm a throwback. I'm old school. I hate that stuff. I really am. I know it's Vegas, and the motto, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but, you know, it's a little bit overboard with some stuff downtown, and I thought downtown was going in a different direction when Oscar Goodman personally told me. I'm friends with Oscar, so I just thought he was taking it into a different direction, but I know he's out of office now, and it's a lot of things are out of his hands, and it's anyway, I know I'm going off the subject of sports betting. I apologize. I do that all the time.
No, it's all good. That's why I love having you on, because you inspire me to ask different questions. So I figured I'm always getting asked this because I used to live in Vegas, and because I do this podcast, I might as well throw it your way. Take betting out of the equation. If you just enjoy watching games inside Vegas sports books, which ones do you enjoy the most, if you don't mind me asking?
Okay. Taking betting out, I just told someone this last night. I had a phone call from my buddy in Myrtle Beach, who's coming out with a lot of guys. He's coming out. He owns three strip clubs, private jet, everything. So he's coming out, and he said, "Crack, where should I go?" I said, "You know, he's coming out with like six guys." I said, "You know what? You guys should go over to the Hilton," which is now the Westgate. I even refer to it the Hilton. The Westgate has unbelievable couches, little cubicles full of really cool stuff. And the screens there are unbelievable. They put a ton of money into the casino. And again, though, I'll tell you the opposite side of that. Not the safest area at the back there. At nighttime, I would just park valet and come in the front door. Because, the back of the Westgate's not the best area out there. It's they do have a security booth there by the door now after being robbed a few times. But they put a lot of money into the sports book. And I really like it over there. It's a great spot to watch a game. And if I was to come to town with a bunch of guys just to come out and hang out and watch the games, that would definitely be the spot. And by the way, I'm doing some stuff in Atlantic City too. When I go back there, I'll be back there in 2 weeks. I was there twice this year betting sports on the weekends. I love the Golden Nugget there. The Golden Nugget has the same thing: couches, intimate, big chairs. I absolutely love the Golden Nugget in Atlantic. And it's a hidden gem. No one even knows about it yet. No one's talking about it yet. So it's a great spot in Atlantic City to watch sports. I know people like to go to the Boardwalk. They like to go to Oceans, which is very nice. The Hard Rock's building a new book, and I love the Hard Rock Casino. Is so cool. And so is Oceans. I hope those two make it. I'm praying for them to make it. I heard last night they're not doing good. I heard Oceans isn't doing good at all. So, but I know one thing. I was there during the Conor McGregor fight 2 weeks ago at midnight. There was 150 people lined up to make bets at midnight, 2,000 people in the sports book. I've never seen that, including Super Bowl, out here. So they're doing something right with that sports book there. And you see how I could look at it from both sides. It's a William Hill brand sports book, and I'm still promoting the sports book. So that's just that's who I am. Even though I hate William Hill, I do promote that. That's a nice place to watch a game.
All right, let's talk about some of the games in question. First one, Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern in London. Philadelphia is laying 3 against Jacksonville. Philadelphia melts down. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, please.
No, I say don't people hate this. Don't people hate this? I hate this. I mean, 6:30 in the morning, enough's enough. Like, I talk to a lot of guys out here, and when I walk through a sports book, I get asked a lot of questions on the weekends. And one of the things that people were saying to me that, oh, man, I've been down here since 6 o'clock this morning. I was at the South Point last week. I was down here since 6 a.m. this morning. And, it just ruins your day. 6:30 in the morning, you're getting up that early to watch a game. But people do. They love it. It's 9:30 on the East Coast. And going back to the South Point, that's about my second favorite spot probably. But not for a group like that. But I filmed some scenes there recently for the upcoming documentary I'm doing. And it'll be on around Super Bowl time. And I can't believe what a crowd you get there. You want old school. You want to feel like you're part of the old school, old-time crowd, last of the Mohican crowd. I mean, it's unbelievable when you go in there. You see Jimmy Vaccaro looking over the flock there. And, Chris Andrews and the guys right up there at the front of the helm running the lines. And, you know, the place is good with their customers. And the clerks are great. That means a lot to me. Your clerks have to be really good. And the clerks there, I'll put up against any in town. So that's my second favorite spot.
But oh, I was Chris, there and Chris and Jimmy are two. They're two of the nicest guys in the business. I've known Chris and Jimmy for 10 years. Two first-class gentlemen, no doubt.
Man, they take bets, too, there. I tell you, you know, I'm down on some of the places not taking bets, but I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I mean, Caesars, MGM, South Point, they've been taking some very large bets for me. I mean, college football, $5,000, no problem. I've been betting it, and they've been taking it. And I was betting $5,000 on first half at the South Point 2 weeks ago. I mean, that means a lot. I mean, you can get $5,000 on the first half. So they have some volume there, and the place is packed on the weekend. So I really like going there. I may go there again this weekend. But going back to the 6:30 a.m. game, I don't know what's going on with these teams. I really don't. In other words, any given week, anything can happen. Philadelphia win it 17-0. They blow the lead and go down. I mean, it's unbelievable. What's the mood in that locker room after winning 17-0 and blowing the game to Carolina last week? I just don't know. Don't really have an opinion on this game. I would lean to the over, if anything. But I have been playing some NFL overs. This is something that, in the beginning of the season, I was trying not to talk about on many games about the NFL. It seems like now the bookmakers have caught up to it, and they're adjusting the lines. So there has been a recent trend to the overs. And talking to Warren Sharp just before, we talk about every day, and talking to Warren Sharp, it's about even for the year now, unders and overs. Where early in the season the trend was betting overs. And you were winning betting overs. Now it's the opposite. The unders have been equaling out. And this is a low total, though. So it did open up 41. It's up to 43. If anything, I lean to the over. But I don't know what the mood is in both locker rooms over there. I really don't. And the traveling, too. I really don't know what that does to these type of teams. Let me tell you something. Philadelphia, they have – this is like almost a – not a must-win, but it's a big game for them. They have to win this game coming back off last week. That's what I feel, but I'm not betting it.
All right, so a big line move in the Carolina-Baltimore game. Carolina was on the right end of that Philadelphia debacle. Baltimore on the wrong end of the outcome against New Orleans last week. Carolina opens in the neighborhood of -1. We've seen that bet all the way up as high as Baltimore -3 on the road against the Panthers. Anything you like here?
Yes, there is. Baltimore is actually – there is a 3 on the screen. I'm looking at my Don Best screen. There's a 3-dog 20 at the Borgata, which is MGM brand of books. So there is a 3, a Mirage Borgata. Yep. And also offshore, which I respect the offshore line much more than the brick-and-mortar casino line here in Las Vegas. There is a 3, dog 25 at Chris. But, no, I actually seen the move. Did not bet on anything here. Maybe towards might have a – if anything, I may have the under a little bit towards game time, but nothing – you know, I don't really do a lot of large NFL bets, but anything that Warren does, I'm on it. So Warren is he's my NFL guy, and you have interviewed him in the past, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, I've known Warren since I think I first talked to him in 2011, right at the start of the season, right when I moved to Vegas, and I've been in touch with him ever since. I love his rise in the media space with his advanced analytics. A lot of people who know him now don't remember that he got his start as an over-under guy. He's great with totals.
Wow, he is great. He's absolutely great. He's the best NFL. You know, the first year I met Warren, I have to admit it, I sat with my money in my pocket because this guy told me, oh, this guy beats NFL totals. And, I mean, literally, I got Warren on his first radio show. He wasn't even on the radio yet. He was just like an unknown guy. And after like 8 weeks, I said, enough's enough, man. This is crazy. How can this guy beat the NFL like this? And he's the real deal. He's the best NFL handicapper I know, for sure. For sure.
Two big spreads.
Totals are great. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry about that. Two big spreads. The Rams laying 9.5 over Green Bay. Kansas City laying 10 over Denver. Kansas City has covered every single point spread this season, but the books have to have caught up to them. Meanwhile, the Rams have won every game this season. Do you like the dog in either one of these scenarios?
You know, I wouldn't be betting the favorites. Only because I live in Vegas here. And, you know, I do get some extra half points in Vegas. Now, that line is like 9.5 at Pinnacle and Chris. It's 8.5 here in Vegas. I see 8.5 and 9. There's even a 9.5 at South Point. If that game goes to 10, which it opened up 10, and of course I missed it, it opened up 10, dog 20. I'm going to be on Green Bay there if I can grab a 10 there. And it's funny, you picked the one game that I actually said, wow, I can't believe that. When will you see Green Bay getting 10 points versus anybody?
Right.
So, it could be a potential side for me. I try to stay away from the Rams because it's a public team, so there's built-in half points, even to 1 point, that's a disadvantage that you have to lay. The public seems to bet teams that are winning and good teams. So the bookmaker knows that with anticipation. They'll put up a line. Even if their computer model says, hey, this line is -9, they're going to put up -9.5 or even 10 because they know the public's going to bet them anyway, so why not add that extra juice to it? So if anything, I'll be going on dogs in those games. And there's a group out here, and probably no one else will talk to you about this. There's a group out here in Vegas. It's a very, very sharp group. One of the few winning groups in NFL. It's called the poker group, which the poker guys are, and they bet sick amounts of money. I know for a fact that casino in town here is taking six figures from them, and they adjust their line after it. They're just to let you know they're on Jacksonville in that game. So, I know that that's going to be their side anyway. So going back to the Jacksonville-Philadelphia game, I just checked my notes, and I seen the poker group, what they're on. They seem to bet the Bears every week, too, and including this week. They're the ones that moved it from 6.5 to 7.5. I'm sorry to be jumping around. But,
no, Bill, this is great information. Just let it loose, man. I'm enjoying listening to it.
And, So they're the ones that moved to Baltimore, too, to pick them to 2.5, so. But that doesn't mean that it goes from pick 'em to 2.5 and 3. Now that doesn't mean that that's the right side to go out on now that the game already moved. As a matter of fact, mathematically, their computer system can actually tell them Carolina +3 to play. And one of the biggest sports bettors of all time used to love playing around with that 3. We all know who he is without mentioning. And that's a key number in the NFL, especially when he was betting before the extra point got moved back in 10 more yards. So he would purposely go out on games -2 and come back on them +3.5. And that's strong as morphine. And I don't know if the poker group is doing that. I think they're just betting and just gambling on their side. But mathematically, if you can get pick 'em and come back on 3, it's very strong. And I don't myself middle games. It's hard enough to get down. I bet mostly college and it's really hard to middle college games anyway. It's hard to get down enough. But NFL games around the 3, absolutely worth middling. If you can get down and you have access to, many different sports books like I do in Vegas here, and they take a lot of bets toward – they take some big bets here on the NFL. They know NFL size is the hardest thing to beat, as followed by NBA size, by the way. College being the easiest sport to beat, college football, college basketball. College basketball probably a little bit easier. But so they know – that NFL is the hardest sport to beat size. It's amazing what these books take on NFL. You can walk up to most of these big places like MGM, Caesars, South Point. You can get down 20, 30, 50,000 on an NFL game. And on a college game, I can get down literally 10% of that. So that shows you which is the more beatable and which they really don't want. They want, if they had it their way, and if there was enough teams and enough games, they would strictly book NFL 7 days a week here in Vegas rather than any other college sport.
Before I let you go, Minnesota-New Orleans, Sunday night, one of the marquee games. Some places have it as a pick 'em. Some have it as New Orleans as a point favorite. Some see Minnesota as a point favorite. Any thoughts on this game?
I know the old thing was Monday night primetime games, home dogs. Well, I'm saying home dog. I'm looking at Pinnacle. Pinnacle has New Orleans -1. Let's just call it a pick-em game. If anything, I'll be on Minnesota this game. New Orleans, I think they're 5-1. I don't have the record in front of me. I think New Orleans is 5-1, and coming off a big game last week when Baltimore missed the extra point. I just think this is a good spot for Minnesota. It's funny you picked two games that I actually looked at this week betting out of the few games you mentioned. Look, Green Bay here in town if I can get a half a point. And I'll be on Minnesota for A small play. Like I said, I'll have literally an NFL game. I'll have a couple thousand on. A college game, especially a college total if I like it, I'll have five figures on. So I try to take it easy with the NFL, but you hit on a couple games, so I'm going to always tell you how I feel both ways. Minnesota is probably going to be a good spot for that team this week. And don't be surprised to see that game not move around a little bit. It moved. It opened 2.5 at Pinnacle, and it went to -1 now. I think it could bounce back, and Minnesota can actually be a small favorite at game time.
Pro sports gambler in Las Vegas, but he's all over the place doing great stuff. You can follow him on Twitter at Bill Crackman, Bill Krackenberger, joining us here on the Sharp 600. Bill, I love listening to you, man. Thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, Joe. Thank you very much for your time.
It says here we should work in teams. Who wants to be my spotter?
No sense in sugarcoating it. Week 7 was a bloodbath. Outside of the teaser winner, 0-4 with our straight up picks. That means this season we are now 14-14. Exactly 500, but down because of the juice. Time to bounce back with 4 picks this week. Give me some music. Game number 1 to London we go. Wembley Stadium to be specific. Sunday, 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. It's the Eagles laying 3 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Some of the sharper guys in Vegas that I talked to this week really like the Jaguars in this spot, but I'm going in the opposite direction. I'm going to lay the 3 with Philadelphia. The Eagles blew a 17-0 fourth quarter lead at home to the Panthers last week, and they're going to be chomping at the bit to atone for that disaster. The Jags, on the other hand, are fighting internally over the train wreck that is the quarterback position. Jacksonville has dropped 4 of its last 5 outings, and they've been outscored 90-28 over the last 3 weeks. So much for that vaunted defense. And like I said earlier, they're in the midst of a full-blown mutiny over the Blake Bortles situation. Give me the Super Bowl champs laying the field goal. Game number 2, Seattle +3 at Detroit. Sunday, 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific, Ford Field. It hasn't necessarily looked pretty, but after that hideous 0-2 start with losses at Denver and at Chicago to open the season, the Seahawks have very quietly righted the ship with wins over Dallas, Arizona, and Oakland to go along with a 2-point loss, but point spread cover against the undefeated Los Angeles Rams over the last 4 weeks. The Seahawks are now rested coming off their bye week and set to face a Lions squad that, impressively enough, has covered the number in 5 straight. But I see this game as a toss-up, and when you factor in Russell Wilson and his 12-4 record against the spread when in the underdog role coming off a win, I find myself more than willing to take the field goal with the Seahawks. Game number 3, the San Francisco 49ers laying 1 at Arizona. Sunday, 4:25 p.m. Eastern, 1:25 Pacific, State Farm Stadium. The 49ers are terrible, but they're still a united locker room that is playing to win football games. Can we say the same thing about the Arizona Cardinals? 1 minute Patrick Peterson wants out, the next he's staying. Remember, this is an organization that parted ways with Tyrann Mathieu to save a few bucks, and then they went out and dropped $20 million on Sam Bradford, only to drop him the number 3 on the depth chart so that they not only can avoid suiting him up on Sundays, but they can avoid paying him his weekly roster bonuses. Check the Niners' schedule, and you'll see a pattern under quarterback C.J. Beathard. Competitive at LA against the Chargers, a dud at home against Arizona. Competitive in Green Bay against the Packers, a dud at home against the Rams. Well, what do you know? The Niners are back on the road following a dud, and they also happen to be 9-3 against the spread over their last 12 trips to Arizona. Hold your nose and lay the point with the San Francisco 49ers. Game number 4, Sunday Night Football, 8:20 Eastern, 5:20 Pacific, U.S. Bank Stadium. It's the New Orleans Saints catching 1 at Minnesota to take on the Vikings. In the old days, it used to be simple. You would bet New Orleans when they played inside the Voodoo Dome, and you'd fade them when they played on the road. But very quietly, and with very few people taking notice, the Saints have found a way to get the job done outside of Louisiana, as New Orleans is now 17-5 against the spread over their last 22 road games. Not only that, but Drew Brees and company are an astounding 15-3 against the spread over their last 18 road games against teams with a winning home record. As for Minnesota, I gotta be honest, I'm a little disappointed. I thought the, quote, upgrade of Kirk Cousins over Case Keenum at quarterback would take this team to a new level, but the Vikings appear to have taken a small step back this season. Not only that, but the Vikes are just 1-4 against the spread over their last five games against the Saints. This should be a real good one, but when it's all said and done, I think the Saints get revenge for last January's Minnesota Miracle. To recap, your six-point teaser of the week, Pittsburgh from -8 to -2 against Cleveland, Kansas City from -9.5 to -3.5 against Denver. Your four straight-up picks, lay the three with the Eagles over the Jaguars, take the three with the Seahawks over the Lions, lay the one with Seattle over Arizona, take the one with the Saints over the Vikings. That's a wrap for episode 145 of the podcast. Thank you all very much for your continued support. Be well, and best of luck.